Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
A18 on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, our producer Jonathan Schaefer. We're missing somebody. Oh, yeah. That would be Kevin Ingram. The well-traveled Kevin Ingram. who is now in Chicago, but after experiencing Vanderbilt's second national championship. First, Kevin, good morning.
How is everybody? Good morning.
We're good, and I know what a big deal it was to you the first time they won, but now you've got a little skin in the game. You did a lot of Vanderbilt's games this year. So tell me, you know, what it was like, to experience last night in person.
Oh, it was really special. I was glad I was able to figure things out and stay an extra day, be there for the championship game because, you know, just to watch it and, you know, the game, as far as any drama in the game, it felt like it was over by the middle inning. So it was basically counting down the outs. It was one of those things where it just felt like the end was not going to get there. And, you know, finally, when they get that last out, DeMarco makes a catch in center, and you watch the dog pile. You knew what was coming, but it was still very cool to watch it all. And then to go down on the field after the game and see the celebration and see him bring out the trophy and the guys on the little stage and to see Donnie Everett's parents be saluted by the team and Tim Corbin bring them up there for that too, I thought was really special. But the whole thing was really cool. It was a great scene and a fitting end to an awesome season for what I think is the best team of any type in Vanderbilt athletics history.
Kevin, first of all, Mason Hickman, a guy who, you know, most of the season was the weekday starter, and I said he could be a weekend starter. At just about any other program, maybe even a Friday starter for some good programs. But this is a guy, you know, a kid out of JP, too, of course, who, you know, gets the ball, the biggest game of the year, you know, gives up three singles in the first inning and a run, but rights the ship and gives them six solid innings for the win.
Yeah, Mark, you know, the way the game started, he comes out, gives up those line drives in the first inning, you know, three straight hits, and Michigan's on the board, and you think, oh, boy, this could be a real problem. And you start to even look out toward the bullpen. I know I did to see, right, is anybody stirring? Are we going to have somebody start to get up? But as quickly as all that happened, he got it turned around, and he kept throwing strikes, and he struck out the next three and really got rolling and shut him down. He was excellent for six innings. I wondered if they might even bring it back for the seventh and maybe put him out there for as many hitters as he could get out. But they brought in Jake Eater, and he pitched really well also. And I sort of half expected Corbin to go to Tyler Brown for the ninth, but he stayed with Eater, and he was able to finish the job.
Oh, man, what do you think about where Corbin ranks as the best college coach, not only in baseball, but maybe, on the Saban level as far as college coaching history?
Yeah, Blaine, We always talk about how winning one championship puts you in one tier, but winning that second national championship maybe takes you to another place. And I don't know that Tim Corbin's career needed any more validation, but, you know, you win another title in the College World Series four times and just really built a juggernaut of a program at Vanderbilt. As far as great college coaches in every sport, I think he definitely deserves to have his name up there near the top. I mean, he is outstanding. Just the commitment to doing everything the right way that you see day in and day out from that program, all the way to the very end last night. I was looking down in the dugout as they got down to the last couple outs, you know, watching Corbin and Scott Brown, the pitching coach, and they're still down there charting everything like they normally would and doing all the little things that they always take care of, and, you know, all the way to the very end. And it was fun to see Tim Corbin. He got the Gatorade bath, and even he jumped around for a few minutes, and then he kind of went back to being the usual sort of stoic coach that he always is. And it was neat to be down there with those guys when it was over with and just see how everybody, you know, came up to him and said something. And he kind of seemed to know the right thing to say to everybody in return. It was neat.
What do you think it means to the Vanderbilt fan base, man? Because, Wow, man. It seemed like they needed this just as well.
Yeah, they did. You know, you think about the basketball season didn't go very well. Football, they got to a bowl. I mean, you know, had success there in recent years. But, you know, the baseball program has really become such a source of pride for that school and that fan base. And you win 2 national championships. I mean, that certainly cements your place, you know, nationally, and gives your fan base really something to latch on to. And I thought it's kind of a shame, you know, that a lot of the fans turned out over at Hawkins Field and were sitting on the field watching the game on the big screen, and storms came along and forced them all to go inside Memorial Gym and watch it. But I know it means a lot to them, and they're supposed to have a big celebration later on this afternoon. The team's supposed to be back around lunchtime, and then they'll have the celebration later on this afternoon at Vandy.
Man, I know you called a lot of their games there, Inge, and you just always kept feeling like they were going to falter at some point. They never did. Where do you see the turning point to say, man, this team is a different team? This is a special group, maybe the best in you know, Vanderbilt history at the time going through the season.
No, there are a couple points playing, and it really in SEC play, there are a couple weekends that didn't go very well. I mean, they started out the season at Texas A&M and lost 2 out of 3 there, and they lost the series at Georgia. But other than that, they were just so consistently good, and they scored so many runs. And for all the offense they had throughout the season, that was really kind of the story of a lot of the year, with how many runs they scored. But the pitching was the thing in a postseason. They had a 2.50 ERA in their 6 games in Omaha in the College World Series, and it was the pitching that carried them. But I don't know if you can really point to one turning point. I think the expectation for this team was there throughout the year. They were ranked number one in some of the preseason polls, so they were really expected to be in a position to have a chance to win the national title, and it just felt like they delivered. I asked a couple of the guys after the game, like, did you feel pressure throughout the year? And they said, no, we just kind of went about our business. And it always kind of felt that way. I mean, they had fun with it, but I think they always sort of knew what they had in mind as far as the ultimate goal for this team.
You know, mentioned last night, of course, was the late David Williams, you know, served in a lot of different roles at Vanderbilt, athletics director included. You know, he didn't hire Tim Corbin, but he was smart enough to get out of his way. And also, you know, the 2 or 3 times when other programs came calling, you know, he always did his level best to keep him. And, you know, obviously he did. And, you know, look at the work product.
Yeah, no doubt. And David Williams, I think, was very much on the minds of a lot of folks last night. And Tim mentioned him, too. You know, unfortunate passing a few months ago. And you're right, Mark. He did right by Tim Corbin. It seemed like every time you started to worry that there might be that threat that he could go somewhere else. And I think some of it, too, is him and his wife, Maggie, and their family. They're so comfortable in Nashville, and they've sort of become, you know, such a big part of the community and just enjoy being there. I think that's a positive, too, that they just like being where they are, and he seems very comfortable where he is. And, you know, sometimes you build that program like you did, and you sort of see the fruits of your labor and you start to win a lot, then you don't really, I think for a lot of coaches, they don't really want to go anywhere else. Just want to sort of sit back and see if they can, you know, continue to have the success where they are. And I think that's kind of been the case for Tim.
The thing that never fails to amaze you though, is Corbin's reach and the relationships that he's forged over the years. And the thing, you know, that people might not know about Corbin is he's like the father confessor there at Vanderbilt for all the other coaches. He's almost without exception, you ask any coach who's been there at all, he's one of their best friends. He's their advisor. He's their confidant. You know, he's a guy that they go to in terms of, you know, questions maybe about their program. You know, with a guy like Kevin Stallings, it was an interesting relationship because Kevin's son, of course, you know, Jacob, you know, is in the major leagues, and, you know, Kevin really knows a lot about baseball. So they hit on that level. So, you know, you're, and then again, you know, you're watching last night about the celebration. There was the Eric Backage aspect of it where they were both, you know, where it had to be bittersweet for both of them. And then there's him, including the Everett family. And it's, you know, and just to underline it with Corbin, it's all about relationships. And that's what really, to me, makes Corbin, you know, such an extraordinary coach and such an intriguing individual.
Yeah, and Mark, you think about how many coaches came out there to just be a part of it from Vanderbilt. And you saw Derek Mason and Jerry Stackhouse and some of the coaches from other sports. But you know, then you saw guys who don't even work at Vanderbilt anymore, like James Franklin. You mentioned Kevin Stallings, but they've been, you know, close friends for a long time. You're right. I think he is sort of that shoulder the other coaches can lean on when they need some advice or just need to talk to somebody, and he built those relationships. Another thing I noticed on social media last night, just kind of scrolling through Twitter and just seeing a lot of former players reaching out with some sort of tweet, everybody from, you know, David Price to guys playing in the major leagues. I guess I'll tell
Mike Minor had a complete game, and he mentioned Vanderbilt more in the post game than he did his performance.
That's the other one I was trying to think of, was Mike Minor. Yeah, I did see that. I saw the highlights of that, and then he was all fired up after the game, and you got all these guys in the major leagues, and I think it says something, too. How many of them come back in the offseason and train, and they built that really nice facility, and you know, those guys still want to be around the program and feel like they have a hand in it, and such a big part of their lives and their careers.
And, Kevin, just to wrap it up, there could be more to come. They're loaded for next year. They've got Hickman, of course, and Kumar, you know, coming back, and along with, you know, Jack Leiter, highly touted, recruit, it would have been a first round draft pick, and they've got a lot of hitters. Would not surprise me if they're the preseason number one.
Yeah, I think probably so. They're going to lose a lot, though. You have 13 draft picks. That's a lot to replace. They have several seniors that will be gone, and one of the key spots to me is going to be shortstop with Ethan Paul. They've been rock solid there for several years, Connor Kaiser before Ethan Paul, and those two played together a lot. But that's going to be one spot to fill. And, just that leadership that those seniors provided. And I think these seniors very much felt that connection to Donnie Ever because he was part of their class and wanted to try to deliver that title for him and his family. And there's very much that element of it. But they should be well-stocked for next year. They're really talented players that never saw very much of the field this season, and we'll see more of those guys when 2020 gets here.
Well, Kevin, great job. Safe travels, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, fellas. We'll see you later.
Appreciate it.
Kevin Ingram.